Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg. I'm excited to have you here with us to talk about praying for our kids today. We have a special guest with us, Mycelle Aquaman. So she's actually hosting a whole summit next week called Leaders Pray for Your Kids and Moms Ought to Pray. We're going to be talking about so many things here about prayer today. We're going to talk about three ways to pray for your kids, the most important reason to pray for your kids, why some prayers don't work, and what you can do about that. Also, the number one reason you must act now, the biggest mistakes some mothers make when it comes to putting God first and making him the center of their homes, and also the easiest way to nurture your kids, plus three simple strategies to grow in your own Christian faith as a mother and a leader, as well as what to do if a child decides to have nothing to do with God and lives the prodigal lifestyle. Our guest today, Mycelle Aquamensa, is the founder of Living Your Ultimate Potential, the author of three books, a speaker, counselor, and a mentor. She encourages women and youth to find clarity in identifying their purpose in life, why they are here, and how to live a transformed and fulfilled life. You can learn more about her over at her website, which is her name, Mycelle, and then the A stands for Aqua, and then the last name, Mensa, MycelleAMensa.com. And also you can invite her to speak over at womenspeakers.com. I'm super excited to welcome you to the platform right now. Hi, Mycelle. Good to have you here.
Hi, Manny. I'm so excited to be here today.
Yeah, well, and you and I have known each other for a while. We live kind of close together, but we haven't met face to face yet. One of these days we will.
Exactly.
But right now, we're kind of working together. You've got a summit coming up. Moms, you ought to pray for your kids. And this is really your passion, is to just inspire and equip moms and leaders to pray more for our children. And I'm so grateful that you're here today to share with us about that. You say that there are three ways to pray for your kids. So I'm curious, what are the three ways?
Thank you so much, Manny. And if I'm talking about three ways to pray for your kids, I'm looking at before even you conceive. When you are married, and you know that you are going to have kids, you start from there. And throughout the conception time till you give birth, that is one way. And then another way is praying scriptures over them when they are out. Even in the womb, you can still pray scriptures as you pray for them. And praying scriptures over them, it's the other way. And then allowing the children to know God by reading the word with them in the morning, in the evening, anytime. You see, anytime that children are very, how do I put it? They know how to study moms or study people. They are copycats. So whatever you begin with them, that is what they begin to do. Because when they come on this earth, it's like a plain sheet. In their mind. Their mind is plain. There's nothing there. So whatever you begin to do, that is what imprints in their mind. Even some things that you don't teach them, they begin to do. So when you are able to start with the word, that is how they are able to. That, these are the three ways. So from conception, praying, the scriptures, and then studying the word with them.
Right. I love that. I love that so much. And what do you think is the most important reason that we should be praying for kids, for our kids?
Right now. The enemy is so much against the family unit right now. That is his goal. That is why in the Garden of Eden, he visited Adam and Eve. But now it has become so clear, and it's like he's trying everything possible to destroy the family unit. But the most important reason why you have to pray for your children is when you are praying, it's like you are putting them in the hands of God for the covering of the Lord. Because you are telling God that, God, I can't do it on my own. I'm leaving them into your care. And as Psalm 91 talks about that, when we know him, and as from the 9 to the 10, he gives his angels charge over them. So when you are praying for your children, you are putting them under the control, under the banner, under the pavilion, under the feathers of the Lord, that he will continue to keep them. Your prayers cannot be with them in their classrooms. Your prayers cannot be with them on the field when they are, you can't be with them physically. That is what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
See, in the classroom, playing soccer or something, but your prayers can be with them because you have committed them into the hands of the Lord. So the eye of the Lord will continually be around them and be with them.
Yeah, I love that. I remember when a mom told me one day that she was so worried about her kids. And I said, I said something back. And she said, but it's my job to worry. I'm a mom. And I thought, no, it's not our job to worry. It's our job to run our worries to Jesus, because that's really prayer. Prayer is really taking every emotion I have to Jesus and letting him talk to me about it from his perspective. So like you said, it changes our experience as a mother, because we recognize we can't be there with our kids all the time, but God can. And it changes their experience because they have prayer cover that they wouldn't have had without us. So that changes everything. So you actually believe that some prayers don't work. I agree with you. There are some prayers that just don't work. But what are you talking about here?
Right. What I want to say about that is, when you are praying, prayer is a communication between you and your Father, just like our earthly Father. So you are going before your Father. But most of the time, because of the pressure or the pain in which we are going through, we start complaining, saying a whole lot of things, this, that, condemning things, even be pray. So that one makes your prayer doesn't work well, because now if I'm coming to you, Manny, and I start, hey, have you heard this? Myself, what do you want? You see? So that is how God wants us to approach him. He said we should come boldly into his throne room of grace. So when we begin to complain and mama about 45 minutes and then the few minutes now you are going to talk about the issue to the Lord, that makes your prayer not very strong. And then when you are going before God, you should be bold, because he has given you that authority to get access to him. You are not a grandchild, you are his child. So he wants us to approach him with that confidence. And the other thing that I'll say is, Jesus Christ, when he hung on the cross, he said, everything is finished. So when you read James 1:7, he says that submit unto me and then resist the devil. That means he has given us that authority and the power to resist the enemy. It's not always everything that we have to just be passive and then just allow things to go by. We have to resist the enemy. And that is how, when we pray in those directions, that is how we get answers to our prayers.
I do remember one time I had been praying and praying. And one day God said, Marnie, you're not even praying. And I thought, I am too. And he's like, no, you're not. You're just whining. You're just whining. And it says in Psalms, it says, enter into his presence with thanks and into his courts with praise and thanksgiving. And I think when we come and we're just really calling him a bad dad and saying, you're not doing your job very well, and I could do it better if I were you. And, you know, I think when we come in with that kind of an attitude, really the prayers just do kind of bounce a little bit. He's a gracious father, and he always does good anyway, but our prayers are much more effective when we come humbly and full of gratitude for everything that that he's given us. Why do you feel this urgency to call mothers and leaders to prayer for their children right now?
Yes. Looking at our world today, the world has never been this is our temporary place we are passing through. Yes. But right now, because of the internet, that is one aspect of it. And the gadgets that our children have access to, they are so much exposed. Whether you like it or not, they may be having the phone and something may pop up unaware, and curiosity, a child may click on it and begin to watch something. And that thing can destroy that child's life if the law shall not does not intervene. It can be porn. Most of the time it is porn. And other these traffickers trying to entice your little teenager.
Yeah.
So it's like this is the time for mothers to pray, or parents, grandparents, bonus mom, stepmoms, any woman who is listening to me. This is the time for us to arise to pray for our children, because and the enemy is attacking the children so much with all these things. He is so much attacking them, because when you get them young, you are able to indoctrinate them. So if you are the mother and you fill them with the word and your prayers, it keeps them, it protects them. Mm-hmm. And even when they go away a little bit, they will surely remember a word in the seed of your prayer, and the Lord will draw them back. So it is time that we arise to pray.
I remember reading through Christians through the Pilgrim's Progress, and
I love that book.
And yeah, Christiana then is the second one, and she would be in this terrible situation, and then she would finally cry out for help, and God would send an angel, and then the angel would leave, and then she'd cry out for help later, and the angel would come, and she'd say, "Why do you leave, and why don't you just stay with us?" And he said, "Well, you just have to keep asking." You know, he had a certain amount of time that he could stay with her, and then he had a different assignment unless she asked. And I think a lot of times our children, we do a disservice by just saying, "Well, I prayed for it once, and I'm done." It's like eating once and being done. You have to keep breathing. You have to keep eating. You have to keep exercising. It isn't just one and done. Prayer is an ongoing relationship that we have with God, and it's our responsibility to keep coming. So what is one of the biggest mistakes that mothers make when it comes to putting God first and making him the center of our homes?
Yes. Mothers, usually, we are role models for our children. And a mother who does not know God, or let me put it this way, a mother who knows God is a Christian. He's religious. He knows about God. But there's a difference between being religious and having personal relationship with God. That is where the difference comes in. So a mother's mistake will be that it is the duty of the pastor or the Sunday school teacher to teach my children Bible. It doesn't work that way. It begins from the home. So the Sunday school teacher can be once in Sunday. What about the rest of the days of the week? So they are more with you than the Sunday school teacher. And if you, the mother, knows God and have personal relationship with him, that is how you are able to nurture your children in that role model. They look up to you. You can't go to church and be holiest than thou, and when you come home, you are something else. They see the or some of the mistakes. You'll be lying, tell lies here and there, and you expect them to do the opposite of what you are doing. It doesn't work that way. So that is some of the mistakes. But when you begin to have that personal relationship with God, and that is how you make him the center of your home. And then you are able to let him give you the wisdom to be able to guide your children in his ways.
Yeah, they're always going to learn more from what you do than from what you say. Mm-hmm. So, just living that personal relationship and that full dependence on Christ, that is just so powerful too. What's the easiest way to nurture our kids?
Yes. So the easiest way, it comes back to the role modeling. That is one. And the other one is asking God for wisdom.
Yeah.
You can't do it with your understanding. That is why Proverbs says that, in Proverbs 3:5, you can't do it with your own knowledge. You can read books about how to nurture, how to make your home a happy home. And if God is not in it, you cannot nurture the children the way God wants you to nurture them to become. So the first thing is, you as the mother, it's important. I can't stress it enough that you have to know God for yourself. Because most women, we carry the burden of the home. We want to see everything working good in our homes. That is our nature. That is how God created us. He created us with all these emotions and care and all that. Yeah. So we desire the best for our children. But if you can have the easiest way, it's your prayer, studying of the scripture with them, yeah, and then getting them involved in other activities at church too. That one also helps them to know that, oh, okay, they will play a role at church, and it also helps you. You are nurturing them, but those things comes along to make it easy for you to do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very much living it out, and so it has to start with you. And even, you know, in programs working with adults, one of the things that I learned when you're doing I learned it when it was teleseminars before it became webinars. We were on the phone. And what I was taught was that what you model is what you get. And so in teleseminars, I would know that if I start with a really long thing and then I ask somebody else to share, they're going to share a really long thing. But if I start with something short, then everybody will share short and more people will be able to participate, you know, and it's like, at home, what you model is what you get. And my parents really did a good job of that with us. They just really made it clear that, you know, our scripture memory and our going to church, those were the things that were really important. And even if we had to miss school a day because of a church activity or we'd stayed up, you know, too late, but working on our Bible verses or something, you know, that was how they really made that the priority. Mm-hmm. And we learned how important that was to them by what their actions showed us, not just their words. Yeah. So what are three simple strategies to grow in your own Christian faith as a mother and a leader?
Yes. It again starts with studying the word of God. Having that quiet time early in the morning. I prefer, some people would think, okay, maybe in the evening, when you know, I prefer in the morning. When you are refreshed and God by his grace has woke you up, you have to spend that quality time with him. And studying the word is not, there are two things. Studying, it's like this time you are taking your time to understand the word. You don't read with your head, you read with your heart. So that everything that you are reading is resonating with you. And then making the word of God practical in your life. We read the word, but afterwards we close it and we forget about it. But when you, I'm talking of living and making the word practical, it's like, okay, God says he loves me. If I'm going through something during the day, I know that God has said in his word that he loves me. So no matter what is going on, he loves me. And I believe that more than what I'm seeing. So that is another one. And then also getting people around you who are also Christian. Bible again says that evil communication corrupts. So if you all the people around you are people who are negative, people who are unbelievers, people who are not, don't know God, I'm not saying that you don't have to be friends with them, yes, but the people who speak into your life, yeah, it's very, very important. And that will help you to grow spiritually as you study the word, as you practice the presence of God with you every time. And then having people who are like-minded around you, that is how you grow in your faith.
Yeah, I liked how you said when you spend time in the word to listen, not just with your head, but with your heart. And I think that's so important. A lot of times, one of the things that I did years ago, I had when Karen, our daughter, was a baby, no matter how early I would get up, she would get up. And I couldn't beat her. I couldn't beat her up in the morning. That sounded bad. I couldn't beat her up. But I couldn't get up earlier than her in the morning. I couldn't rise. She would just like come. And I got to the point where I was like, you know what? This is too frustrating. So I'm just going to say, God, you get my top 10 minutes. Wherever the first 10 minutes of the day is that I have alone, I'm going to give them to you. And sometimes it was just 10 minutes and then I would collapse into sleep. Other times it would be 2 hours and I would just sit and just worship with God. But I think that the difference is, are we doing, are we spending that time in the Word to check something off of a list? Or are we spending that time with Him because we love Him? We want to get to know Him because He makes a difference in our lives, because He is our life, you know? And I think I loved that, the difference between the head and the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you see, sometimes too, maybe you have told yourself that I have to spend time about 30 minutes with God, or I have to spend about 1 hour, and something happens and you are not able, like a young mom who is now having babies and yeah. Now it is becoming difficult, as you explained. You don't beat yourself like, oh, okay, I couldn't spend this time, so God is not. No, it's not like that. You see, prayer or spending time is a continual something throughout the day. So as a mom, if you are a new mom, if it's 10 minutes that you have, 5 minutes that you have, just do that. That is what I talk about my book in the Mom's Secret Strength. Just that 5 minutes, quick, you get a time that you can spend ample time, but that 5 minutes, but throughout the day, you keep on talking about to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I don't understand this. Can you give me insight into it? Right. It is a continuous something, yeah, without ceasing throughout the day.
Yeah, I just love that. I love that. So the first one was to start your day with Jesus. The second one was to walk through your day with Jesus. And what was the third one? I can't remember.
I was saying that getting people.
Yes, like, having a team around you. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about this just earlier with somebody else about how just getting together with other moms who love Jesus, it's just so important. And they boost you up, but also they teach you things about how to parent and about how to love on your kids and help you through difficult circumstances that you wouldn't have known what to do otherwise. So it's so valuable to have that team around you. So let's talk about kind of the hard question. Now, what if a child decides to have nothing to do with God and live a prodigal lifestyle?
Yes, this is a difficult question. And I believe and I know that, especially when you were a Christian mom and a dad, you raised all your children with the same thing, like the reading the Bible, the prayers and all that. And one of them decides to into his own hands and do his own things. It becomes very difficult. But this is the time also that your attitude towards that child is very important. Most of the time, out of the frustration, you say certain things that you shouldn't say. And when you begin to do that, already the enemy is lying to that child. And if you begin to speak the negative things, you push that child further away. But when you begin to show that love, that unconditional love, even when, not that you are approving, but you do the opposite of what he or she expects you to do. He knows what he or she is doing, and he knows how to pull the strings to get you angry, to say something, so that he or she can stand on it to do something that she wants to do. But when you begin to allow God to give you that peace, that self-control, then you begin to speak. When he does that, this is not you. You know I love you. I know that this thing that you are saying, you are better than this one. So you let's leave it here. And in your own way, just leave the child and continue praying. Don't complain. Don't murmur. Pray. And the very unexpectedly, like the prodigal son in Luke 15, unexpectedly, as you continue to look through the window, through the doors, hoping that one day your child will change because of your prayers, which is a seed, they will surely come back to God. So that is something that I want to encourage every mother who is going through this, especially if you are a pastor or pastor's wife or whatever. It's very hard, but don't give up yet. Right there with you.
Yeah. And I think I do believe that the leaders' children are under much more of an attack, because if the leader can be taken out of commission, then that just changes the whole ministry. So I do feel like there's more of an attack there. I do love, one of our friends came from Iran and lived in the United States. And when he became a Christian, his father actually had a contract put out on his head to kill him. And one of the things that I really love about Christianity is that God actually calls us to him as a choice. It's not that you have to, or like, I don't have to feel toward one of my kids. If you don't believe the same way I believe, I'm going to kill you. That's not God's way. God's way is, if you don't believe the same way I believe, I'm going to love you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to bless you. And we have this amazing privilege, whether it's with our children or with other people, we have this amazing privilege to love them to Jesus. And it is not our job to save them, which, you know, I think as a mom, sometimes we take on that responsibility. Like, it's my job to save them, but I can't save anybody.
You can't save yourself either.
No, I can't even save myself. Right? So true.
Yeah, we can't save ourselves. So you see, sometimes you want to play the role of God.
Yeah.
And try to, yeah, get the children to behave in a certain, you will do your best. That is why when you know God for yourself and you commit them continually in his hands, you are doing what God expects you to do. You just leave them. It is the Holy Spirit who convict. They will surely come back to the Lord. I believe that so much, that whatever you pray, whatever you train your children with, they will surely go according to that.
God is so faithful. And one of the things I love to say as a parent, as I love to say when I can't do something for one of my kids, I say, but God loves them way more than I do. And I love that fact. That I know how much I love them, and I want to just do everything I can for my kids, you know? And yet God loves them more than I do. He's got more invested into them than I do. And I love the reality of that. And it gives me so much joy too. When I can't help them, or when I can't reach out and do whatever, I know that he is there with them. Amen. I don't have to worry. He's always present with them. He's present with every person on planet Earth. He's present with you guys right now, wherever you are. He is present with you. He loves you. He's reaching out to you. He's calling you with his love to come and enjoy life with him. Mycel, this has been wonderful. I can't hardly wait for next week for the Moms Prayer Summit, and want to encourage gals, be sure to go register for that. It's free. It's online. You can listen when you get a chance. There's so much great stuff over there, stories. Mycel and I did an interview where she was interviewing me, and I got to tell some stories about raising my kids and about praying for them in hard situation. So it was a fun interview, and that's going to air on Monday, I believe. So just make sure to check that out over at mycelamensa.com, right there on the front page, or you can find it right on marnie.com too. On the front page this week, it'll be there. And then after that, you can find it over at Mycel's site. But also, Mycel is available to speak. If you have an opening for a speaker at your church or Christian women's event, you can reach out to her through womenspeakers.com. Mycel, thank you for being here. Thank you for your life and for your ministry.
Thank you so much, Manny, for having me. And today is happens to be my first son's birthday. So
I just want to say. How many children do you have?
I have three.
Three? Oh, same as me.
He turned 23 today.
23. Well, you got youngins. My oldest is 35. I can't believe that. But God is good. God is
good.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And thanks, you guys, for being here. Love having you with us. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Hope to see you next week over at the Mom Summit. And see you.